Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Nobody Panic. Oh baby, it's the book launch tour time.
We're
at 21 Soho.
Oh my God.
My name is Stevie.
My name is Tessa.
And today we are live. We are doing how to work out what you want to do with your life. Just a very chilled out episode that everyone's going to help us with. And before we do, we've got some adult things. Should we do the adult things straight off the bat?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. We're going to pick them out of a sort. Well, I've got a jar. Tess has sort of thrown them on herself, and we're all going to just enjoy. Checked on my student loan balance. Okay.
Oh.
What's that? Amazing.
Real mutterings of dissent for that one. Nobody liked that.
Scheduled the central heating. And then they have written, lol. Got my boiler fixed, but with a sad face emoji. So who's to say what happened
here? Yeah, what happened there?
But well done.
I spent the weekend catching up on 3 weeks' worth of washing and put it away.
Yeah.
That's a fun weekend.
Oh, love this for you. I really hope this is someone who didn't understand the remit of the concept. Resented friend's engagement. Yes, put it in my veins. Yes.
Oh, this is a good one. Started seeing a therapist after listening to your How to Go to Therapy episode.
Well done.
Yes. There's also an epilogue. Yesterday had a breakthrough moment. Oh, come on!
Good for you. I wasn't late to this show. Congrats. And I washed my bin out today. Horrible.
I was the designated driver to go for a pub lunch in the country for a friend's birthday. I offered to do it. Fuck.
I went into the office one day this month and it was just me and the CEO.
This is a fancy one. Did a Whole Foods shop. Don't worry about it.
This one feels layered. This week, I bought my friend a gift for her promotion at work.
You added the layers.
A gift for my friend who got a promotion. It's impossible. I'm sorry. It can't
so
be done.
So much blinking in your layers. Okay. Instead of crying about my broken MacBook, I called my insurance company. Miraculously, in capitals, it was fucking covered.
Yes. I didn't pop the biblical spot on my chin. Oh, patience is key. Thank you, Gandhi, for that.
I like this one. It's just very simple. I bought a dehumidifier.
I used a drill for the first time in my life. Had to drill 4 holes to only use 2. But the mirror is up.
Yes. I booked an electrician after I overflowed the bath.
No, you need a plumber. Come on.
God, they overflowed the bath to the light switches below without waiting to electrocute myself first. I'm saying. That is... Okay, yep. Glad you're here.
Glad you're here. Nearly quit my job after crying at work twice. And we'll do it tomorrow.
Yes! That's great. That's a really good one.
Ate an artichoke and didn't hate it. Thank you to the warm-up act for really setting the scene. Not safe for work, NSFW.
I've had sex with a different person each night this week.
Wow. And it says in capital letters, didn't feel bad about it.
Woo!
That's really hot.
Yes.
Okay. Right, let's get into the episode. So we're going to be doing today how to work out what you want to do with your life. Because, well, I was going to say for a big reason, because we haven't done it before and it's quite a nice thing to do, isn't it?
It's a nice one.
It's a nice one to do. Tessa, did you know what you wanted to do with your life from the start when you were born? Did you know, when did you sort of figure out what you wanted to do?
Well, I didn't know when I was born because podcasting didn't exist.
Yeah.
My theory is that there are two types of people. Those that have absolutely no idea and they are just desperate for anybody to tell them, and they're like magic eight ball people, and they are perhaps tarot, and they will walk in off the street for a lady to tell them what they're supposed to do. They're just like desperate for someone else to know the answer.
Oh, as in that was part of the tarot.
Yeah. And say like, what shall I do? What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing with my career?
Yes.
Please.
Hysterical energy people.
Hysterical energy of like, what am I? And then there's the other type of people who are people who know what they are, but they are too scared to do it, or it's not a real thing, or it's but they know.
I think there are more than those, because I think there are also people who are like, they from almost birth were like, I'm going to be an accountant, or I'm going to be an architect, or I'm going to drive a bus, and then feel, because obviously now more and more people change careers, so then that is also basically, I'm talking about myself. I've always wanted to be an architect.
You must.
I haven't. So I always wanted to be like a writer, and it was like, I'm going to be a journalist, And then when I did it, I was like, I don't like it. And I was like, well, now what do I, the circus? Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's quite destabilizing as well. And also people that I think are told what they want to do, or socialize what they want to do from people around them at uni or school or whatever, and then have never actually thought like, oh shit, like, what do I want? Because you don't really sit around very often just being like, hey, what do I want? Like, you don't, it's not a
thing.
No,
it's not. Well, yeah.
It should be more.
It should be. I don't know, I remember being so jealous at school of people, even when we were like in year nine, who were like, I'm going to be a doctor. So if you're going to be a doctor, it meant like, these were your GCSEs, this is what you need to do for A-level, this is what you need to do at university. It was like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, I don't. No idea. And it felt very destabilizing because it was constantly like, you know, you got to know. Also, I went to a school in which they gave us a talk in year 10 that was like, if you don't get straight A's at GCSE, doors start to close.
I got the doors start to close.
You, doors start to close.
Do you know what I mean?
On what?
Like, yeah,
which
gives
doors?
A shit?
Yeah, on the doors I just came through. Who gives a shit? Yeah. Doors start to close.
Yes, and also, I was about to say, I don't know if this still happens, but I'm sure it does. You have to like pick your subjects at like year 9 when you're like 13 and there's so much given on there. Like, will you do history or geography? And you're like, I don't know. What do I care about, an Oxbow Lake or the Queen? Right.
Nazi Germany.
Thank you.
Someone chose geography, obviously.
Actually, I chose history, so I did very badly.
That's the thing, they shouldn't make us, everybody should be allowed to do everything. You shouldn't have to be made to pick and decide if you're a history or a geography person, or if they're like, oh, sorry, it's the sciences or the arts, you can't be both. And
exactly.
You're like, why not?
Well, because also then you start being like, oh yeah, I should, it starts to, what's the word, like, make you feel like you should know. And when you're 13, you feel like 25 anyway. You're always like, I'm grown up. And then, but would you now let like a 13-year-old dictate what you did? No, you wouldn't.
No.
You don't know anything when you're 13.
It blows my
mind. I wore white eyeliner a lot.
It blows my mind that we were just like allowed out as 13-year-old girls. Like,
lock them up.
Lock them up.
Like,
you're so vulnerable. Your mind's like a sponge. You don't know. You're just saying a barrel of lies, like, all
it's
the
actually,
time.
It's hard enough. Also, at that point, it's like you're like growing boobs. It's like, just stay
your
focus
body's
on
exploding.
That.
It's like,
that's
go
enough.
In the tower and don't come out for like years.
Yeah, covered in hair. Like, what's going on?
Oh,
maths.
Yeah.
It's like, who gives a shit about maths? We've got hair here.
Yeah. But also, like, the stuff you're doing, it sounds like we're coming out really hard on the education system.
Yeah.
But, like, the stuff that you're taught at school, we got back into poetry a bit as an adult. It's not true.
I was like, you've never shared this with me.
That's not true. I just have seen a poem. I didn't mind. Okay, that's
it. You know what? I have as well.
Yeah.
I bought a print of a poem the other day.
Did you?
Like, I was going to say the other day. It was 2 years ago. But like, I really was. I haven't put it up yet, but I love it. I bought a frame for it. It didn't fit, but I've tried.
That's the thing. And like, and then, so there's like, what's the point of teaching poetry to teenagers? They haven't lived. You haven't done anything. We had to do this bloody thing called The Train from Rhodesia, which was about a divorce. It was about a woman who'd married the wrong man, and then he buys this little wooden lion. But it's the wrong
the
lion.
What? That's the train bit.
They're on the train.
Oh, right. There we go. So it's context.
Duh.
Sorry.
It's taking place on the train, and this is all happening as she's having these like big thoughts. And then he buys this lion, but for too cheap. And then she does. And it's like, and when I'm 13, you're like, I don't fucking know. And then
and now I'm breathless.
Now, now you're like, of course, the lion was too cheap. And he should have paid more for it. It's just like. Anyway, so you put all this pressure on you when you're so young, you don't know anything, you're making all these massive choices about what you're supposed to do, and also life feels incredibly long, and so you're like, I've got all this time to do all this stuff, and then you actually like hit your, you leave, you know, at the school, or you leave wherever, and you hit your stride, and suddenly you're like, oh my fucking God, now what?
Or you then switch over into, I've switched seamlessly, and I don't know what age it was, I think it was like 16, where I was like, I'm now too old. I'm too old to have the career I wanted. It's the end. And like, I admit, 16 is a stretch, but it was maybe 22. I was like, I will never. I have so many, I know so many people who are like early 20s who are like, oh, can I do that? You're like, what do you mean, can you do that? Like, yes, of course you can do that. You could try that for a bit and then you could change. I found an interesting stat. Stop.
Ooh,
it.
Please.
I don't know. What? Maybe I did. I don't know. Did I? The lights are so bright that I was looking straight at them. I can't actually read anything.
I'll cover. This very
professional. That's not very interesting, the stat I found. All relevant.
Oh, well, in Downton Abbey.
Yeah, that is better, actually. The one's bullshit, what I've written
they
down.
They get... No, I'm covering for you. And then
oh,
you,
no, basically...
No, so, I'm not finished. I'm saying about Downton Abbey. They get electrical lights for the first time. And, fans. Everybody knows the episode.
No, I think they were just confused.
Maggie Smith hates it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she comes in and she goes, oh, God. It's like being on stage at the Donmar, like this. And then every time I see a bright light, I say, it's like being on stage at the Donmar. And nobody knows why.
Thank you.
That's it. Let's have... Yeah, don't!
Pause.
You will only encourage me. You mustn't do that.
No, I think that's good. And I don't...
Please.
Obviously I'm not reading out a stat after that.
Please, I'd like...
Get a standing ovation. I go, 50% of Britons expected to make a career change within the next 2 years, actually. So career changes are much more common these days. So it's actually okay. Also, I was sat like this. My dress was above my knicker line. So I've had my vagina out for the entire time. Right, anyway, that was fine.
Ooh.
Okay,
and
the energy's coming back down, and then...
half of Britons, no, I'd like to know.
It's boring. It used to be, basically, nobody did. You had your career your whole life.
Yes.
And that's, you know, often people's parents of around our age will maybe have that too. So you are blueprinting on your parents. You go, like, you know, that's why everyone freaks out. Not everyone, but that's why I freaked out when I turned 30. So I was like, well, my mum was 30. I was coming out of her. Nothing's coming out here. You know, et cetera.
If it was, people would be able to see. Am I right?
Woo! Straight into the tights. But now, yeah, basically half of people in Britain will expect to make a career change in the next 2 years. And that is like across all age groups. And I think it's something that when you are younger, I've got boring, but fine. But
not so, boring, important.
Got to do it, haven't they? You're just talking about Downton Abbey for the whole episode.
It's important.
I'm pushing it forward. Yes. But also when you're younger, you that kind of feeling of being like, I must know, continues until then it seamlessly sometimes switches over to, I'm too old.
Mm.
So there's not really a point where you're like, I know, like, and it's cool, and I'm just going, I am.
It does, that's exactly what happens. You're like, oh my God, and then nothing. Well,
yes.
I'm here now.
So
death.
Where was the
22,
window?
Death.
Where was the window of time that you were like, oh, it's like so chill, I'm job hunting and I know what I want to do and it's fine? That isn't, because you always look at, always looking like sideways and being like, well, that person's doing this and they've got like, they've bought a flat and like, they've got this, how are they doing that? And then, the worst thing is not trusting your own instincts of what you want to do. So being like, oh, that's stupid. Or like, that's that's not a real job, or like if I did that, I don't want to do that for the rest of my life. But it's so what I find, or I have found very helpful, is in those instances looking at people, examples of people who have changed career or started their like big career and become incredibly successful really like late on. I always go to Bryan Cranston immediately. He's not doing anything that I want to do, but I'm just like, isn't it nice? It's like, if he's like 38 or like maybe older. I've obviously not read anything specifically about it, but what can you fill, because I'm going to find that chapter in the book,
season 4, episode 2 of Downton Abbey. We open on a crystal clear lake. Lady Edith, of course, pregnant, but with the chauffeur's baby. They flee to Dublin. Oh my God, I will tell you this. I went to pick up the books. This is, I swear to God, only a couple of them. But I was like, oh my God, here it is. Opened it. I don't know if you can see that. It's upside down. It's upside down. So, just so you know, some of the, I know a lot of you have followed the Instagram journey. Some of the collected in the hail car boot versions will be upside down. These are retailing for £150 each, the upside down versions. Have you found it?
No.
Oh my God.
It's not in the chapter. We thought it was. Yeah, I've gone very hot. I found it very helpful to read about or look up or think about people who have changed their careers late on, because it makes you feel, and by late on, that is obviously an incredibly subjective thing. I just mean later than me specifically.
But also later than the like Forbes's like 30 under 30.
30 under 30 can literally go fuck itself. I'm just, but what? I don't know where that came from.
Honest to God, if either of us had been in the 30 under 30, we'd be like, you know, and as Forbes said, you know, it's...
And also, it's meaningless.
It's silly, isn't it? But we were in the group.
I've got a tattoo of it on my butt.
But, yeah. But since we weren't, fuck it.
And fuck everyone. So we're just going to read out some... Well, actually, I don't need to read the first one out. My mum, she went to university at 40 and became an award-winning interior designer. Fucking great. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, she's also in, but I won't embarrass her. Okay, so you got Kate Atkinson, wrote her first novel when she was 43. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Vera Wang didn't enter the fashion industry until she was 40 and is now worth 400 million. I didn't know that. I mean, I obviously wrote the book. So.
We've just finished doing the audiobook, and the amount of times Stevie said something and then went, wow, didn't know.
No, the worst one was like, oh, that is fucking funny. And she was like,
You wrote that. Donald Fisher opened the first Gap store with his wife Doris when he was 40.
Ooh. Alan Rickman quit a successful graphic design career in his mid-20s to become an actor and didn't get his brig break until he was 42. Ooh.
Robin Chase founded Zipcar with just £52. That I find unbelievable.
You did actually write that one.
No fucking way, I didn't know. I don't know who Robin Chase
me
is.
Neither.
I thought you were talking about Robin... Who wrote this book? I thought you were talking about Robin Thicke, and I thought we're not putting Robin Thicke in this book, mate.
I didn't write that.
Okay.
Right.
Let's go to Colonel Sanders.
Right, we've claimed that Robin Chase founded Zipcar with £52, unfact checked, age 42, and is now obviously rolling in it, we've written, because we obviously didn't check.
Arianna Huffington started the Huffington Post when she was 50.
Julia Child worked in advertising and then wrote a cookbook at 49, which turned her into a super famous celebrity chef.
Colonel Sanders, 62 when he first franchised KFC.
Arwen was a 2,700-year-old woman when she married Aragorn, a 30-year-old man.
Edward Cullen, 107 when he married Bella Swan, a 17-year-old girl.
Bad, actually. Noah was 954 when he transitioned away from carpentry for the first time and built his first ark.
Yeah. It did work. But it was Dracula was 489 when he left Transylvania for the first time and sailed to Whitby to attempt world domination. It's lovely and it's inspiring.
Good for Dracula, I say.
Yes, absolutely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What if you literally just don't know what you want to do yes. at all? And there's all this stuff like, just do what you want, babe. Just actually really think about it. Sit down, you know, roll some dice, look at some tarot. But you're like, no, I actually don't know. So one of the things that we've been talking about a lot is how you can... Obviously, before I was like, would you want you as a kid ruling your life? No, because you'd be a mess.
But
if you really don't know what you want to do, it is quite a good idea sometimes to look at what you did naturally as a child. Mm-hmm. Like, relevant things, not like, I don't know, et soil. Although, botanist. Is a botanist? Does a botanist eat soil?
Could be.
Maybe. But yes, looking at the things that you were like naturally drawn to, because obviously some of those things, you know, if you wanted to be like an Olympic ice skater or something, or you've got the Olympic gymnast dreams.
Yes.
And you
yes,
still do. And that's fine for her.
Yes, I do, Stevie.
Yes. But sometimes they're maybe not realistic, not for you, but for others.
Paris 2024. Me and those two very young twins will be the British gymnastic team. On the floor. She's got a very big bun. Everyone following the gymnastics? Okay.
Very big bun?
There's two twins. Again, this is so specific. They've got incredibly high bun. Like, I just want to be part of their team.
I feel like all gymnasts have very high buns.
No, not like this. Not like this.
It's almost like a forward-facing bat.
It's like a unicorn. It's like, it's yeah. here. Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a slip down the face.
Anyway, they're very talented and good for them. But you wait till...
yes. To which I'll say, say if you are like, maybe I can't do that. I don't know why you'd think that. You can still incorporate that thing into your life. So like, if you know, maybe you can't be an Olympic ice skater, but you could like start ice skating lessons, or and I think one of the things of kind of feeling like, well, what I want to do is I physically can't do it, and also, you know, I maybe couldn't turn it into a career. If you even take a step towards it, that would still have love, like it would still radiate out that kind of like what's the word, proactive, creative outlook on your life will have positive impact elsewhere, I think.
100%. And I think, like, when we say, like, don't listen to you as a teenager because you were whack.
Whack and hairy.
Whack and hairy. But do listen to you when you were, like, under six, because, like, that was, like, the...
You were a philosopher.
Yeah, but, like, that was the purest, like, most confident, yes. like, best version of you before you had anyone else's opinions in there or anybody else's ideas. You tried to impress anyone. You were just, like, you were six. So it's, like, what were you doing, you know?
I used to walk around and go, look, and then pull my pants down and take a picture of my own ass. And look at me now.
And look at her now. I guess the truth, the kernel of truth we can take from that is, look at me and my butthole. And if that's not
and now
comedy,
I'm here with my vagina.
What is? You know,
actually perfect.
For me, it's like endlessly like yes. writing stories in the garden and insisting everyone came to look at a play I'd put on.
Again, it's like, look at me.
Look at me, look at me. And but is it like, if you know, there are friends of mine who are teachers who just were always wanting to deal with their younger siblings, or are you always like wrapping up your animals, your pets?
To be an animal sheather?
An animal vet.
An animal vet.
Are you always bandaging everyone up? Should you be a doctor? Should you be a nurse? Should you be a baker?
Of course, as well, I found when you look back at like stopgap jobs you've had that maybe you didn't love, there might be elements of it that you did. So for example, I know, can't work in customer service. In a way, you can like see things as like crossing things off. And I think that's something that we don't look at with careers. We go, oh, what do you want to do? But actually trying things out does help you to go, I don't want to do that. Like, okay, so, and you kind of constantly honing what you want to do until maybe you do reach a point where you're like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, and that process never stops, does it? Like, and I think there's this horrible thing that it stops at 30. it's like a musical chairs thing, and everyone sits down, and I don't know how musical chairs works. And then they get back up, and then they get a job. So, yeah. But
maybe musical chairs is the perfect analogy. I think it's like you sit down, and then the music starts again, and you try a different chair, you know?
Yes,
is this a better chair?
Yes, because actual real life is no one takes a chair away.
Try
it. Obviously, the actual process of changing careers is very difficult, but that's not what this is about. This is about like figuring out what you want to do. And then at least when you know, you can take steps, reasonable steps towards it, rather than just that horrible feeling, which is so gross, which I've definitely had, where I've been like, I should like this and I should be happier, but in all areas, it's quite clear I'm not very happy. And then you can kind of go like, oh, maybe I'm just shit at being happy. Or maybe I'm just like sad person. Like, no, it's if you like when I had a job, like a normal job, I hated going into the office. And the office was really cool. And I liked everyone I worked with. And I like hypothetical. It's like the Love Island great on paper thing. It's like the job was great on paper, but I like was arriving in later and later and later and being like, and my boss at one point was like, you just look sad all the time. And I was like, oh, I should leave. But then you don't know what to do. Like it was very hard to then figure out what I wanted to do because I knew, but I was too frightened. Mm. So then I think the practical things, we've done other episodes about how to change career, and I think it's all about, you know, putting things in place, and it's very an individual thing. But actually, the hardest bit is actually just figuring out what you want in your own brain, which should be the easy bit. But we're so bad at knowing what we want always.
We're terrible at it, and also we're so good at being like, oh, I guess this. My very first ever work, my like first internship, and we got paid nothing. I was just saying, how much was it? I was like, oh, I remember, nothing. You got paid your travel, but only if you like sent in your receipt with it like underlined, and you could only get the one. Oh, it was not a good place. But and I was very, very sad there. It was a film production company, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And it turns out the interns were a tax write-off, so they didn't give a shit what we got up to. They just made money from us being there. And everyone was so sad there. I was like, oh, this is what adult life is, I guess. Everyone's just really sad. And then one day I was absolutely like goody two shoes. I just wanted to be, you know, pleasure to teach. I wanted to please everyone. And they said, please, can you go and clear up the meeting room or whatever? There was a party last night. And up I went and I was like, of course. Bah, 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 bah. Up I go, tidy everything away. What a good girl. Make everything neat, put everything to the side. Oh, gosh, what are all these bags? Little tiny little bags, what are they? there's cigarettes, so maybe they're connected. Pop all these little bags in the cigarette things, put everything in the bin. And well done, me. And then they a couple of hours later, they came and found me, and they were like, hey, oh, kid, were there any tiny little bags? And I was like, you betcha, they're in the bin. And they were like, oh, that was the bus's cocaine. And I was like, oh, no. And I was like, okay, do you want me to... They're in the skip outside. I was like, do you want me to go and... Do you want me to try and find them? And they were like, yeah.
He could just buy more.
I don't know how to buy cocaine.
He could. The CEO.
Or she. I was obviously a man.
Yes.
Honestly, I was...
Say you should buy more cocaine. I know you can't do that.
So, I thought your idea was like, buy more, mate.
I can't do that either.
I didn't have enough money to eat anything, so I didn't have any money for cocaine. But also, the thought of someone saying to me now, could you find some cocaine? I'd be just in Soho being like, anybody got any gold? Yes. Old Charlie Joe for the lady. Please.
Yes.
£60 for a lick. That's what I've heard. You know, like as I was stood in the skip looking for it, I was like, I can see myself now. And that was the moment I was like, enough. Enough. Yes. There must be more. There must be more. You must have skills. You must be worth something to somebody more than being in this skip. And I climbed out of the skip and I handed in my notice. They didn't give one shit. And then I was like, okay, something else. We're not doing this anymore. Like you don't have to be sad as a grown up every day. Like that's not part of it. But you have this idea that you're like, oh, I must just do the numbers every day. Like, you know, you can be happy. You can do a job. And you can also be like, oh, somebody thinks that you're talented and good in your specific one area. That spark in you. And I think especially this like last couple of years we've all been through, everybody's spark has definitely like dwindled out, but like you can definitely get that back. And again, I after the skip, I was a runner for a really long time, and then
on a film set, not like a professional runner. I just want to make it very clear.
Just Forrest Gumping it across the country. Just got out that skip and just set off for Cornwall. I was a runner on a film set for a really long time, for lots of different productions, made commercials. Very, very bad at my job. And
I say that you were good at your job. Okay,
no. I was bad. I was bad at it. And I was there and I was... Listen, I was a lot of fun, but I wasn't any good at it. And anyway, once I was... This other boy was a runner and they were changing the lenses on the camera. And then he was like, oh my fucking God, they're using a VX7. And I was like, yeah, cool, man. And then I was like, what's that? And he was like, they're using the lens on that special camera and that's how they shoot like James Bond. And so it's going to like do this thing with... I'm making it up because I literally don't know. And he knew all this stuff about the camera and his body was like, he was like this. And I was like, okay, not this. If this is how somebody feels about this job, if that is the level that someone can feel this, oh my God, it's the VX7. I was like, I want the VX7.
You've
got to find your own personal VX7 until, and when you see other people feeling that level, you're like, oh, okay, somebody can feel it. So therefore there must be a thing out there for me that makes me feel like that.
Exactly. And also a more, not that, that was absolutely perfect and amazing, but also even on like, it was. But on like a different level, when I was a waitress and hated it, there was another waiter who was like constantly asking loads of questions about like the food, and he was so interested in like how the restaurant was run and like learning. And I was obviously just like, I would like to pay my rent. Mm. And it's the same thing. So in literally any job, there's even a job that you know you really don't even because that's quite a glam job, you know, like working
on a
film set.
And that's the thing. But that's the thing when you are in, because it's like so hard to get in, even to be a runner. It's so hard to get into film production. It's hard to do all those things.
It's so hard to run a restaurant. It's hard to like.
It's hard to do anything.
Like be a really good hairdresser with an amazing salon. Like it's hard to do literally anything well.
And when you get through the door, you think like, oh my fuck, this is it. This is what I wanted. And then when it's like, oh my God, I don't. You feel so like, oh no.
Yes.
I've come all the way through the door, but you can go backwards or sideways or home. You can go anywhere.
Just go home.
You can go just home. You don't have to be like, oh no. And to like, you know, being in the restaurant and being like, oh, I don't like this. Like, it could be like, oh, I don't like being in the kitchen, but I do love being at the front, or I do love being behind the bar, I want to be the manager, I want to work in
this.
Or
you just go like me, I don't want to work anywhere near a restaurant. And that's really good, because you can then I know. Then I'm like, great. And I had the same thing with journalism. I worked with this wonderful journalist called Sophie who just fucking loved finding shit out. Whereas I'd be like, I don't want to do any research. I'll just sort of write, like, I never did any of the actual work. And I think it's so nice, to that point of just being like, everyone has their own VCR.
Everyone has their own VCR.
Yes.
And like, and you VPN. Think, oh, nobody must like this job, but there are people who love it.
Yeah.
And I once wrote an article for somebody, and it was about phone repair. And she was like, you got to go interview a phone repairist. And I just, the thought of like interviewing somebody, I was so embarrassed, the idea of like calling somebody up and asking them just out of the blue. And so I just wrote, I just made it up and just like.
What? As in you didn't interview them?
Yeah, I made it up.
Okay.
And okay. And then sometime later she was like, you made this up, right? And I was like, no way. And then
it's illegal. Just, you
know. Oh yeah, it's not a good thing to do. And then she wrote, she was like, right, well, who was this person? And then I wrote, I mean, I was joking, but I wrote to her, Bessa Boats, phone repairist to the stars. And she was like, you cannot work here anymore. Like, you must. You
I
have
think
to.
I know the person that you're talking about that you did that with, because I think they've also told me that.
Been,
yeah, like, I thought I did it because it sounds unrealistic, but you did
I
do
did
that.
Do it, yeah. Yeah, I did do it.
But also as well, another thing is if you're like really thinking and you're like, okay, I really still don't know. One very helpful, I think it's often seen as a very negative emotion, but it's actually quite a positive one if you approach it well, is jealousy. So if someone is doing something and you're like, ugh! Like that,
oh yeah.
Then you can look at, like, it might not be directly like, oh, I want to do that exact thing, but you might want to be. There might be elements of that you're like, oh, cool, or like, I don't know. It can steer you, and I think often people talk about jealousy in this horrible way of just like, oh, it turns me into like a piece of shit. But actually, that yes, it does for a bit, and then afterwards, it does for a bit, and then you know, I was going to rhyme it, but
go
I can't.
On.
I'm not a poet. I just saw that poem once. But yeah,
I believe you.
No, I really wouldn't.
Okay.
At this juncture. But yes, yeah. So that is also quite a nice steer, like envy and like jealousy, because there's a reason why you kind of get that gut-wrenching feeling. It's because something in that is where you want to be, but you feel like you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking, I've mostly got jealous very recently of all the Love Island stars on Instagram because they've got they've got so much Louis Vuitton.
I don't get jealous of that at all. That's because I don't want that.
I don't want Louis Vuitton either. But we had an Yeah, and then I had to, Stevie had to coach me through unfollowing everyone.
Yes.
And then
it's
became.
Press and follow.
I became the balloon issue today. I became absolutely psychotic about wanting this, all these balloons.
Yes, influencer style balloons.
I kept saying, but the influencers have got balloons. Stevie was like, I don't think we need. Them.
No,
I
and also that's the layer down from that is like maybe it's like their lifestyle or like what I don't know, because that's not you going like I want to take an Instagram picture with a balloon in it, like that's not your dream.
No, sorry, I've derailed. That's not helpful.
Helpful, but I'm saying like no, it is helpful because it's like any of that stuff, it's not just what you want to do with your life job wise, it's what you want your life to look like as well. And a lot of people when we graduated, and all of the English lit people were just like, just went into graduate schemes with like the big four law firms, or I don't know if it's called big four law firms, but whatever, like Deloitte, you know, which I called Deloitte until I was 27.
I don't think it's law. I'm going to pop down in the ignorance hole with you.
No, don't.
Can I?
Yes.
To say, when my university boyfriend broke up with me, it's because he was off to do the law conversion course, and they'd said to him, this is going to be really serious, so put your social lives on hold and break up with your girlfriends. So he did. And
what?
Yeah. And then he just relayed that to me. I was like,
Deloitte told me to do it.
Deloitte told me to do it. But he was very driven, and he really, really, really wanted to be a lawyer.
He's an asshole, mate. I don't think he's very driven. He's like, you have to break up with your girlfriend. Very passionate about that, sorry.
I think, if I may, he wanted to break up with me anyway.
Yes, sorry, that's possibly... Yes.
I don't think he was like, my great love, well... law, I suppose, you know. I think he was like, finally, a fucking excuse. get rid of this bitch. Anyway, no, he's an all right lad.
He's
and
fine.
Good for him. Anyway, no, he was very passionate. He was very driven. He really wanted to do the law stuff. And he had this big, exciting law conversion course he wanted to do and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and I was like, why are you taking this so seriously? I don't think we need to break up, et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, listen, you don't understand. Like, if I do this course and I get on one of the massive, you know, big law firms, and then from there, like, you know, in a couple of years, like, I could be in the magic circle.
Like, well, like magicians. Like the magic one.
The law, the big five law, call themselves the fucking magic circle. I didn't know that. So I was being broken up with, and then was like, sorry, and you'll be a magician.
Yeah,
you'll...
genuinely. Yeah.
And how will the law play into the magician? You know? I just was like, what a thing to call it. The magic circle, the coolest thing in the world, and you call it your wanky law group. Anyway, sorry.
But at that point, it is the most exciting thing in the world. Yeah. Because you're like, I want to be an adult.
But the thing is, for some people, we're being dismissive of it, but truly, for some people, it is VR7. It truly is.
For some magicians,
That's it. They call it the magic circle because of them. It's magic. And like, you don't have to be like, oh, okay, I guess I should.
It's his VCR.
It's his VCR. And it's like, everybody has allowed their own one. And that's why the world works, because like, there is a man, oh my God, I just watched Autumn Watch. Anyway, there's these people called the wing-tipped winger waders or some shit. And they go out at the crack of dawn and they hide in the bush. And they throw a net over these waders. It sort of explodes up from the sand. Nobody's hurt. It's all fine. And then they take these little waders, which are these little tiny birds, and they put a little tag on them, all very safe. And then they check their migration and where they're going. And I was like, I can't think of... I mean, I'd go for one day. But I was like, what? And then I saw them and I was like, that's their VR7. Like, their hearts are beating for bird conservation, you know? Like, they want to put those tags on those waders. And I was like, so you might think that job is the shittest looking job in the world, but somebody else truly, truly loves it. And so you just have to keep going until you're like, oh, la, la, la. Oh my God, this is my thing. Oh my God, they're using that camera. Oh my God, that's a wader. Oh my God, the magic circle.
It feels like the wader is yours. You've like absolutely taken
the
off.
Waders!
I think it's time.
I don't care, but I was so glad
you
that they did.
You care for them. Well, there's nothing nicer, always say it, there's nothing nicer than speaking to somebody who just fucking loves their job. Mm. Because no matter how boring that job is to you, it's always so interesting. But as well, one of the ways that you can help yourself to like find your V7... VO5.
No one knows.
VO5.
The thing is, I made it up at the beginning and now we've forgotten.
Now we've gotten it. Fine. One of the things, because I always think about your friend Kat, who like worked in money?
She's the forensic accountant whose clothes I put on.
There we go. Forensic accountant.
Same.
But now she's a detective. Amazing. And what I find great about that is, like, that's one of those jobs that you go like, haha, detective, that'll be fun, and then you don't actually ever think about it again. But actually, it takes, what I'm trying to say is, it's when you think, when you find the thing that you want to do, then the next hard stage is actually like, it's actually like taking steps towards doing it, because you're like, oh, I could never. But actually, like, look, like, look it up, research how you would what courses you need to do, what, like, and start to make it as real as possible, even if you're not actually doing it, and sort of be able to visualize what it would look like to maybe, and I think as well, dealing with it in like a sort of like a fun daydream way, like, okay, so say I want to be a detective, fun, like, how would
so
I,
silly,
like,
but
say, I'm not going to, but say if I did, and then suddenly you've got your spyglass, you know.
That's famously... So
suddenly, you're hunting down the chicks. I don't know, whatever
they
do. Oh,
my God.
Doing paperwork, apparently, is what Cass said. There are a lot of things. Then you're doing admin.
But you do have to, you know, you get there and you're like... And then she has, like, exactly what we're saying, got there and been like, oh, my fucking God, I hate this part of it, but...
This part's great. Yes.
Okay, this, you know. And when you get there, you're like, okay, it turns out I hate this. And it's not like, oh, my God, just quit, just do it. You're like, no, stay in the game, sidestep. Okay, yeah. It's this.
But keeping it separate from reality is kind of helpful if you're frightened to move into there. Yeah. And then that will kind of like, yeah,
I just blossom. Think, like, if you do, because it's so precious to know, because so few people know, or if they... Even when they're running around being like, oh my God, I don't know. It's somewhere so deep in them that they don't have access to it. So if you know, what an unbelievably like precious gift that is. Yeah. And so for you to be like, oh, I'm too scared, or I can't, or I, you know, I need this money for, you know, it's like you have one life. You must.
You like, you must do it. Multiple ones as well. You might have like multiple
lives.
V6s.
I was like, that would be such a left turn from you at this point in this.
Goodbye.
It was said so confidently and seriously.
Yeah, no, I meant multiple VS7s, beasts and...
Oh, right, yeah. At different points in your life. Yeah. Who's to say that like people who are love of that time of your life are not... This is not the job that's just the love of this time of your life.
Yes,
you know?
We all change and we're all very cyclical as people.
And crucially, we will all live again.
And we will die. Yeah. Well, hopefully that was very helpful for everyone listening, and the pace at which we were speaking wasn't too quick. Is there anything else? Any parting quotes from Gandalf you'd like to... Normally there is.
The ring comes not to those who ask, but to those who say, is that a ring?
What a great place to end. Yes, please. Yes, please. Very good. Very good. Go
to Plosive.
Brighton, we go to Leeds, we go to Manchester, we go to Bristol. Go to plosive.co.uk for tickets. Also follow us at Nobody Panic Pod. Buy a fucking book, mate.
If you can.
If you may.
Not to worry if not. No, please do buy it.
The audiobook's a lot of fun.
Yeah, or buy the audiobook if you don't like to read.
Yeah.
The limited edition wet. Upside down copies, of course.
£150. We should do a raffle at some point. I don't know. Then that's the
prize.
Oh
my God. So I emailed Black and Decker and I was like, listen, we're going on a tour. Give us a drill. They said no.
They replied.
Yeah, that's
a surprise. That is a surprise.
They said, we're actually quite busy. Good luck with your project. Fuck you, Black and Decker. Yeah, good luck with your project. It might have been an automatic reply. And the project might have been DIY. It was like, good luck with you, whatever you're doing. We can't reply to this account.
Yes,
but fuck you, Black & Decker. So my hope is that by the end of the tour, by Bristol,
sponsors,
we've got a Bosch drill. And
a Bosch fridge.
We got Bosch just everything. If you're listening, Bosch, please.
Yeah, and thank you so much, and thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. Thank you so much, 21 Soho. You've been amazing.
Thank
good night.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.